is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves and dial in toll free 800. You guys hearing me?
I'm not hearing you.
Check 1 2 1 2. Check 1 2 1 2.
Hello, 1 2 1 2. Yeah, I can hear me. Free Talk Live. Give us a call at 1-800-259-9231. It's your show. Call in and take it over, and, well, we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. And it looks like Ian has lost his microphone, so, well, you know, it's time for the understudy to take over. And, well, I've got some show prep here that I've been wanting to do, and, well, since Ian's busy, I'll just go ahead and do what it is I want to do.
And I'm here with you, too, Mark.
Thank you very much, Sam. I can bounce this stuff off you. So this article is about innocent people that confess to crimes that they didn't commit. Well, obviously, innocent people don't commit crimes, right? So people that confess to crimes that they did not, in fact, commit.
Okay.
Does that make any sense to you?
Well, I mean, if this is happening, like, in Iraq where people are being tortured, that's why torture is so ineffective, because, you know, people just want the pain to stop, so they'll say whatever they want to make it go away.
Nope, this is America.
Oh, nice. Where at?
Well, this is out of New York Times. Eddie Lowry lost 10 years of his life for a crime he did not commit. There was no physical evidence at his trial for rape, but one overwhelming factor put him away. He confessed. At trial, the jury heard details the prosecutors insisted only the rapist could have known. Now, so he took this to trial, so it says to me that at some point he's like, whoa, I shouldn't have confessed to that. I didn't do it. He says, including the fact that the rapist hit the 75-year-old victim in the head with the handle of a silver table knife that was found in the house. DNA evidence would later show that another man committed the crime, but that vindication would only come years after Mr. Lowry had served his sentence and was paroled in 1991.
Oops.
Yeah. I beat myself up a lot about having confessed, Mr. Lowry said in a recent interview. I thought I was the only dummy who had ever done that. But more than 40 others have given confessions since 1976 that DNA evidence later showed were false, according to records compiled by Brandon L. Garrett. Now imagine, this is since 76, and that means that there had to have been some physical evidence that they could use DNA on that somebody had it confessed to. So you're talking about 40 cases isn't a bunch of cases, but there's not going to be that many cases that far back that there's actually DNA evidence on.
And how many people have the money? I would assume that they would have to pay for the DNA testing, or, you know, how do they determine, okay, well, there's enough here that we're going to go ahead and rerun the DNA evidence?
I suspect that your defense team, whoever it might be, is the one who's responsible for paying for the DNA tests and trying to pry it out of the hands of the bureaucrats. Ian, is your mic working?
Yep, I'm back.
Excellent. What had happened to it?
Technical difficulties.
Little wires.
The button wasn't pressed.
Oh, got to have those buttons pressed. So anyway, more than 40 people have given confessions that later showed that they were false, according to the records compiled.
40 people in how many? I'm sorry, in the whole country? Or?
40 people in the country since 1976 have given confessions to crimes that they did not, in fact, commit. DNA evidence showed later. So you're talking
that number would be a lot higher.
I suspect there's a lot higher amount of people that have confessed to crimes they didn't commit.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're talking about being able to get DNA evidence to
a verification.
Right. So there has to be something that they can get DNA evidence off.
Yeah.
And that something still has to exist. Do you understand?
Right, right.
In some cold case file someplace.
Now, most of the cases where people were pulled off of death row and because of DNA evidence, that was due to a college class or something that would go and investigate cases.
Happens.
It was a group that would actually go out and look at these and look at the
sure.
really questionable ones. Is it the same case here, or is it actually just different individuals unrelated?
I couldn't answer that. I haven't. I don't know for sure how.
Because it may just be that there's one group of people out there actually doing something about this, and that's all that they can get to. But there's probably hundreds.
Experts have long known that some kind of people, including the mentally impaired and the mentally ill, and the young and the easily led, are likeliest to be induced to confess. I'd like to point out who is most, young people are the most likely to be sentenced for crimes.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the age bracket of, say, 15 to 25, those are the people that go to jail for crimes. likely they're the people that mostly commit crimes too, but that's also the age bracket of people most likely to be induced to confess. There are also people like Mr. Lowry, who says he was pressed beyond endurance by persistent interrogators. So the cops just kept on questioning, and at
keep
some
you
point,
awake, shine the light in your face.
Who knows even what the tactics are? But yeah. Like he just says, persistent interrogators. It doesn't even have to be that rigorous.
Keep some food away from you.
You know, at some point, peer pressure can make you confess to things you didn't do. Here's evidence. And, you know, sure. I don't know how society deals with this. When you're dealing with something as powerful as confession to a crime, how do you deal with that? I don't even know. New research shows how people who are apparently uninvolved in a crime could provide such a detailed account of what occurred, allowing prosecutors to claim that only the defendant could have committed the crime. An article by Professor Garrett draws on trial transcriptions, recorded confessions, and other background materials to show how incriminating facts got into those confessions. By police introducing important mm-hmm. facts about the case, whether intentionally or unintentionally, during the interrogation. To defense lawyers, the new research is eye-opening. In the past, if somebody confessed, that was the end, says the founder of the Innocence Project here, Peter Neufeld, an organization based in Manhattan. You couldn't imagine going forward. The notion that such detailed confession might be deemed voluntary because the defendants were not beaten or coerced, I would assume this is what he's trying to say here, because they weren't beaten or coerced, suggests that the court could not simply look at whether confessions were voluntary. They should look at whether or not they were reliable. Professor Garrett said that he was surprised by the complexity of the confessions he had studied. I expected and think people intuitively think that false confessions would look flimsy, like someone saying simply, I did it. Instead, he said almost all of these confessions looked uncannily reliable, rich in detail, and most inevitably had to come from the police. I had known in a couple of these cases contamination could have occurred, he said, using a term in police circles for introducing facts into the interrogation process. I didn't expect to see that almost all of them had been contaminated. Of the exonerated defendants in the Garrett study, 26, more than half, were mentally disabled, under 18 at the time, or both.
Wow.
Most were subjected to lengthy, high-pressure interrogations, and none had a lawyer present.
Well, it's easier for the police, who in many cases, some departments don't require. In fact, they discourage actively intelligent officers from signing up or intelligent people from becoming officers. So it would make sense that the police are easier to, you know, it's easier for them to intimidate the mentally retarded. Because that's about their, you know, they're above that level.
Well, that and they break their own laws when it comes to people asking for attorneys. Because they say the lawyer wasn't present. I can tell you, in my case, I asked for an attorney. And they, you know, then they went on with questioning afterwards. Mm-hmm. So they're not supposed to be able to do that. And they do.
Really? I didn't know they weren't supposed to be able to do that. I thought that, you know, it's your responsibility to just not answer them.
Not once you say, once I want a lawyer.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Then they're done.
Mr. Lowry's case shows how contamination occurs. He came under suspicion, he now believes, because he had been partying and ran his car into a parked car that night, the night of the rape, generating a police report. Officers grilled him for more than 7 hours, insisting that from the start that he had committed the crime. Mr. Lowry took a lie detector test to prove he was innocent, but the officers told him he'd failed it. So they lied, and mm-hmm. they're allowed to do that. I didn't know any of that except to tell – I didn't know any way out of it except to tell them what they wanted to hear, he recalled, and then get a lawyer to prove my innocence.
Too late.
So he felt like he was stuck, you know, didn't know how to get out. Proving innocence after confession, however, is rare. I imagine it is. Eight of the defendants in Professor Garrett's study had actually been cleared by DNA evidence before trial, but the courts convicted them anyway. In such case involving Jeffrey Desvrock, who spent 16 years in prison for a murder in Poughkeepsie, prosecutors argued that the victim may have been sexually active, and so the DNA evidence may have come from another liaison she had. The prosecutors asked the jury to focus on Mr. Devrick's highly detailed confession and convict him, while prosecutors Garrett suggests that leaking facts during the interrogation is sometimes unintentional. So
we'll come back with more. 800-259-9231. Your thoughts. Have you ever been under pressure by the police? Do you know what this is like? You can take control of the airwaves and bring up anything at 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
Attention. all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. varadio.com.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves, dial in toll free, bring up whatever's on your mind. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features there for free, features including our listening options. We've got live streaming around the clock. You can listen to the latest episode of the show any old time you want it via broadband or dial-up streams, or you can call our listen lines from your phone. As long as your phone can dial long distance, you can use our listen lines as well. Plus, we've got satellite delivery. We've got 80-plus radio stations, just announced a new one tonight. We'll say hello to them officially on Saturday. when their listeners are on board with us in Utah. So that's exciting. And a variety of ways to listen. Just go to listen.freetalklive.com.
So how soon do you want to start teaching that child that's special to you about the ideas of liberty? I figured I couldn't start soon enough with my son, Jack. An Island Called Liberty is a picture book for children, and I read it to him all the time. He carries it around, and it's gotten kind of bedraggled. He loves the book. He calls it Libby. It's kind of like, well, Ayn Rand meets Dr. Seuss. It's simple story, graceful rhymes, and beautiful illustrations on every page will make it one of any child's favorites. You can go to freemarketunderdog.com, see some samples there, and order today. You get a 10% discount for listeners of Free Talk Live with the coupon code FTL. It's An Island Called Liberty at freemarketunderdog.com.
All right. So, Mark, you started the show out with this piece, and I don't recall where it was from because I was running around fixing technical things. The Times, is that the UK?
The New York Times,
I'm sorry. So the New York Times, where they're talking about people that have been coerced, essentially. Well, is coerced the right word here? It depends on the case, I think.
Yeah. It's browbeat, yeah. Is what it sounds like.
They're using the term induced confessions, and they're talking about people that have basically been given, they've been intimidated, there are probably different tactics going on here, kept awake, maybe starved to some extent, barraged with questions, lights shone in their eyes, lies told to, all kinds of psychological manipulation going on on the behalf of the police in order to get this person to admit to a crime they didn't commit. Now, whether the cops believe they committed it or not isn't the issue. They're trying to get somebody to admit, give them a confession so they don't have to do any work. I mean, it's much better for them when you'll just go ahead and make a plea bargain and put a confession in, because then they don't actually have to prove a case.
Well, I think that you're jumping to conclusions here, because
which one?
People believe that police work. They've been taught by, so many of the detective shows and novels and things out there that the police work is all about gathering clues and putting together a case from these clues and things like that. Police work isn't that. Police work is largely finding the most likely person and getting them to confess. And most of the time, the most likely person is the guy that needs to confess. Do you understand?
I don't know. Is that true?
How can you
make that statement?
Because people don't randomly go out and kill people, usually.
Yeah, but the police can randomly pick people up off the street and accuse them of it.
If there's some kind of connective evidence,
you were talking about in one of the cases was a rape case.
Sounds like there wasn't much connective evidence.
Well, no, he was ticketed the same night for having a car wreck.
Yeah, like he got drunk and ran into a car from the sound.
Because he encountered the police, he therefore is a suspect in the rape case.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they connected something in their minds, and I mean, happens.
That counters what you said about how, whoever they pick up is most likely to be it.
No,
what are you talking about?
I didn't say that. I said the person that's most likely to have done it. Look, if somebody ends up dead in your house, it's most likely your ass who did it.
Okay, that may be a true statement, but we're not always talking about that here.
That's the person.
This isn't all about
cops,
murder.
Indeed. I'm just saying that usually they pick up the person who's most likely to have done it, and in most instances, the person most likely to have done it is the one who did it.
That's all I'm saying. Right. That's a very general statement, and it's
stating
the obvious.
Police work is about getting people to confess.
It's a circular
statement.
It is
not about looking for fingerprints, collecting
a
matchbook from Ben and Jerry's ice cream on 39th and 12th. This tells me it is. It's not about
sure,
that.
Sure. No, I agree with you there.
That's all I'm telling you.
Okay.
So you're making it seem like they're starving people, hanging them from the roof and all that other stuff, and largely they're not doing that. I'm telling you in this story that mostly you're talking about some people of a particular mental subset that are likely to confess to crimes they didn't commit.
You don't think they're stressing these people out?
Sure they are.
Okay, then they're probably holding food back from them.
Kids.
You don't think they would hold food back from somebody to get them to confess?
One meal isn't withholding food.
Whatever. All you have to do is tweak somebody out.
Starve.
All you have to do is tweak somebody out into getting them to think that you're serious.
Sure, these are tricks. They're not torture. That's what I'm trying. The distinction I'm trying to make.
I would say that's a pretty subtle line. When you've never,
there is a subtle line.
When you're in the custody of strangers and they tell you something, you can call it a trick if you want to, but if you induce someone into believing that they're not going to eat again, or that it's going to be a long time before they eat,
the worst
or that,
thing these cops did to this guy is they gave him a lie detector test and then lied to him mm-hmm. about the results.
This is one case you're talking about.
In this particular yeah. case, there, you know,
do you think it's unlikely the police would do other things like I suggested?
I know that they withhold a meal here and there. Mm-hmm. They'll put people in, you know, solitary confinement for
keep
a few
them
minutes.
Awake.
They'll
what about that one?
Yeah, they left the when I was in jail and they were trying to find out what my name was. They left the lights on 24 hours a day in the little rubber room that they put me in.
That's torture.
They would come in at all hours of the night, wake me up immediately. What's your name? As soon as before I even woken up. I mean, I hear the sound of the door going, and then the guy, you know, the 6 foot plus. Tall guy is there demanding to know what my name is.
Sure.
So, and I've seen these true crime stories where they show some of the interview. Typically what they'll do is get the person in, they'll come in, have him tell his story, and then they'll start trying to contradict the story with facts that they know from the case. So that's probably how some of this contamination occurs. And in one case, there was a guy that they ended up getting to confess. And then when he did it, he got up to put his jacket on to go home. And then they're like, well, where are you going? He said, well, you guys said if I told you everything I knew that, you know, I could go home. And they had actually convinced him into thinking that if he would just say what was going on, because it was such a long, drawn-out thing, that he would be free to go afterwards. Mm. So that's the kind of psychological stress and strain that these people are put under.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, that much is certainly true. I just don't like it when Ian will kind of paint this as torture.
Okay.
I was just listening to a history podcast on how the KGB did its interrogation. In this one case, this guy walks into a room where there's a bunch of tongues and eyes and fingers lying on the floor. From previous interrogations, and he knew he was going into this interrogation, okay? So let's call this stuff what it is, but these are kind of tricks in order to get somebody to confess to something they didn't do. They're not torture.
Well, I think when you put it in the spectrum of torture, obviously it doesn't measure up to what has been done. But to somebody who's not used to being treated like a thug, then this could be pretty scary. And I think that if you're in a state of fear, I think to some extent you're being tortured. You're being mentally stressed to a significant level.
Those are good terms. Stressed is good. Tricked. I like these terms. Tortured. No. Starved. No.
Well, if you're told you're not going to get food and they don't give you food, then aren't they starving you? Isn't the intention to get you to believe that you're not going to be able to eat again? More coming up. This is Free Talk Live at 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves.
It's the end of summer blowout sale at HerbalHealer.com.
Now take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on colloidal silver.
500 parts per million, pharmaceutical grade.
All sizes from 2 ounces to a gallon on sale.
It's simply the best colloidal silver available.
And CoQ10 100 milligrams with hawthorn.
An exceptional supplement for heart and arterial health.
Is only $19.
Plus, get the number one arthritis supplement, glucosamine chondroitin.
60 caps for only $12.
Where?
HerbalHealer.com.
Super Femplex and Super Maleplex, both great formulas for reproductive tonification,
are on sale now, 90 tabs, only $15.
Need a safe and mild colon detoxifier?
Herbal Healer Academy's Colon Enhancer Large 250 capsule bottle is now only $18. There's so much more at HerbalHealer.com,
but not much time.
The end of summer blowout sale ends October 13th.
New customers get a free catalog with your first order.
Log on and hit the summer specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3. freeze-dry-guy-3663. That's freeze-dry-guy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
That sound could save your life. In our fast-changing world, you and your loved one may have limited time to escape dangerous nuclear radiation after a power plant accident, terror attack, or dirty bomb explosion. When that happens, you'll be glad you have NucAlert. More than just a radiation detector, NucAlert is a patented radiation monitor and alarm used nationwide by federal, state, and local first responders and the Department of Defense. NucAlert, attached to your keychain, is always with you and on 24/7 to promptly warn you of unseen but dangerously rising radiation levels. NucAlert incorporates a 10-year battery backed up by a 10-year warranty. See NucAlert in action at KI4U.com. That's K-I, the number 4, the letter U.com. When ordering anything at KI4U.com, type in GCN in the comment box at checkout and you'll get free two of their new just-released peel and stick rad sticker disseminators as a free bonus. Go to KI4U.com today and be ready for anything nuclear unleashed tomorrow.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site for free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com, and the features include things like our news updates. You can get signed up, and we will keep you in the loop whenever there's something you need to know about Free Talk Live. Just head on over to news.freetalklive.com, get signed up. You can follow us via our emailed updates, our Twitter, our Facebook, whichever works best for you. Get over there to news.freetalklive.com, get signed up for free.
While you're at freetalklive.com, check out the banner at the top right-hand side of the page. It's SACL CAI. SACL CAI is operated by Jason Osborne. He's one of the main sponsors of the show, been sponsoring us for a very long time. Awesome guy, big advocate for liberty. Check it out, SACL CAI.
1-800-259-9231. So we're talking about these induced confessions, as they're being called in the New York Times, where people are suspects, are brought in for a crime, and the police use whatever methods they possibly can, short of actual physical torture, although there's certainly the chance that you could get a rogue cop in there and actually beat somebody up. I'm sure those things have happened. But talking about creating mental anguish in people and getting them into a position where they just don't want to deal with this anymore, this interrogation, and so they'll cop to a crime they never committed. For a variety of different reasons, because A, they think it's going to be over. You read a story, Mark, about a guy that was convinced, or maybe it was you, Sam, but the guy that was convinced that if he just, yeah, it was the true crime story. He was convinced that if he would just give it up to the cops, they'd let him walk out of there, and they didn't. So we were talking about that, and you mentioned, Mark, that you thought I was being a little hyperbolic with my use of the word torture.
Yeah, I just don't think it's fair to use the term torture.
I definitely understand where you're coming from. Generally, torture has to do with excruciating pain and punishment as a means of getting a confession, but it can also be defined as to give mental anguish to, and to cause mental agony or worry. So to some level, I think that intimidating somebody into believing something that's not true, that is scary to them, is I think a very low level of torture.
It certainly is mental torture.
But you're also dealing with a certain classification of people, this sort of mental attitude where they'll confess to a crime they didn't commit. Ian,
a lot of people would do that.
A lot of people would.
Well, that's what we're talking about here. There have been a bunch of people that have done this.
But you're not talking about a large segment of percentage-wise of the population. You're talking about people who are, you know, young, mentally ill, things like this. Mostly young people won't commit to confess to a crime they didn't commit.
I would hope not, but some people do, and it's still inappropriate what they're doing to these people.
You know, and maybe my mind's skewed on this a little bit because I find it difficult to imagine somebody confessing to a crime they didn't commit. But
well, you're not under those stresses. You're not having the light shown in your face. You're not having food denied you.
I know what it's like to be interrogated, unlike yourself. I mean, I spent 9 years in prison. I've got a general idea how these guys operate, and honestly, I found them to be a bunch of bumbling fools who I wouldn't trust with a stolen bicycle. They wouldn't have caught anybody if it hadn't been for evidence given by, you know, witnesses and things like that. They don't actually do police work. They just kind of question people.
Look, I totally get where you're coming from, Mark, but not everybody has the same perspective as you do when they're in that situation.
Indeed.
Some people are intimidated by the police.
Just not torture, man.
Okay, whatever.
After his initial confession, he said the interrogators went over the crime with him in detail, asking how he did it, but correcting him when he got the facts wrong. So
mean a knife? Oh yeah, right. Yeah, it was a knife. It was a knife.
The crux of the confession here that you know they used in court was saying that well the defendant knew things that otherwise he wouldn't know, but when they went over the facts with him and they I assume didn't record it. In fact, it turns out they were prompting him when he got his facts wrong. So he says that. He said, how did I get in? I said, I kicked the front door, but the rapist had used the back door, so he admitted having gone around to the back. They fed me answers, he recalled. Some defendants' confessions even include mistakes fed by the police. Earl Washington Jr., a mentally impaired man who spent 18 years in prison and came within hours of being executed for a murder he didn't commit, stated in his confession the victim had worn a halter top. In fact, she had worn a sundress, but an initial police report had stated that she wore a halter top. Stephen Drisden, the director of the Center for Wrongful Convictions at the Northwestern University School of Law, said the significance of contamination could not be understated. While errors might lead to wrongful arrest, it is contamination that is the primary factor in wrongful convictions, he said. Juries demand details from the suspect that make the confession appear to be reliable. That's where these cases go south. So Joe Tritium, a former policeman who now advises police departments on training officers to avoid false confessions, explained that few of them intend to contaminate or interrogate in an interrogation or convict the innocent. You become so fixated
on... They just believe that they aren't innocent.
Well, they don't know, right? They don't know. They've got somebody here.
They got a hunch.
You're putting ideas in these guys' heads, and I don't know that it's true. I think that we've got a guy here. He seems like a warm lead. Let's work him. And if you keep on getting, water out of the well, you're going to keep pumping the handle. So that's just the way it goes. I think that this is an unfortunate scenario, and I think people should be aware of it, and that's the reason I want to read it.
Yeah,
but I don't think that all cops are evil. They're a bunch of evil bastards torturing people, depriving them of food, and hanging them from the ceiling by fish hooks.
I'm not saying that they're all evil. I'm just saying those things happen. To deny it is to deny reality.
So the consultant here says, you become so fixated that this is the right person, this is the guilty person, that you tend to ignore everything else. The problem with false confessions, he said, is the wrong person is still out there, and he's able to reoffend. So Mr. Trainum has become an advocate of videotaping entire interrogations. I believe this is absolutely necessary. And requirements for recording confessions vary widely across the country. 10 states. As a matter of fact, when they recorded my statement to the police when I was arrested, they'd stop the tape recorder. And, you know, they'd prompt me and make sure that, you know, things fit to whatever it was they wanted them to say. I never felt like I was giving any information that was incriminating me that was not factual. I certainly gave them not factual information, but it wasn't in order to incriminate myself. So they'd stop these tape recordings and things like that. That's not the way it should be. These people are our public servants, and their actions should be recorded. So if they're in there slapping some convict around or somebody that they picked up off the street around in order to get a confession, that stuff, we need to know that information. They should be recorded.
We're definitely not going to record that part.
Right. They should be recorded from the moment they enter, and there should be
no breaks in a time code or anything
Broken recording from the time they enter a confession area to the time they leave, and there should be no interrogation outside of a confession chamber.
Well, you know, if we actually had market-based protection agencies and investigators, we'd probably have stuff like that.
Could be.
As of right now, if you bring those ideas to the police, well, thank you for your suggestions.
Well, that's right. That's what this consultant's running up against.
Well, the local police department here in Keene, that's exactly the way their interrogation room runs. Is any time there's a movement in the room, the door opens, whatever, it starts the recording.
Is that right?
Yeah, it stays recording for at least 2 minutes.
Again, the PD in Keene, New Hampshire, is a cut above the average.
Well, they also have a room right next door with a TV screen of the interrogation room where they bring in additional attorneys and for multi-jurisdictional things, different police departments that are all sitting there watching what's going on and planning, okay, how do we get this guy?
Yeah, well, if only they'd be using those facilities to actually go after real criminals, unlike the school teacher that was just busted this week up here in New Hampshire. It didn't happen here in our very home area of Keene, but the man works in Keene as a public school teacher for third graders I don't know if that school that he's at is a gifted school, or it seems like some sort of a special elementary school of some sort. But the guy was allegedly growing marijuana, and so our intrepid officers have,
saved the day.
Yeah, they spent the time and effort to investigate this man, and you know, they cracked down on this vicious criminal who's teaching your third graders. Story's up at freekeen.com if you want to see the details at 800-259-9231. But yeah, if they were actually using these facilities to interrogate real possible suspects in real crimes, that'd be nice. But they're probably using them half the time for so-called drug criminals. 800-259-9231. You take control. This is Free Talk Live.
In 2010, you were fighting for your rights. In 2019, we are fighting for our lives.
The last illusions of economic stability have shattered, revealing the financial dystopia that lies beneath the surface. The Federal Reserve has run out of lies and out of time. Those who stand for liberty will right their wrongs or die trying. Get involved with the epic animated feature-length film, Silver Circle, at SilverCircleMovie.com.
Just remember, when they control the money, they control everything.
Have you been thinking about starting a website? I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a worldwide leader for web hosting, and they make it easy to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and templates. Sign up at hostgator.freetalklive.com to receive your first month completely free. Whether you want a personal blog or a complete e-commerce business website, let the experts at hostgator.freetalklive.com host you.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mph wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring 2 wind generators on just 1 tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, companies or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That number brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 1-800-259-9231, and you can join us on our website. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. You'll find the features there are free. The main feature of the site allows you, the listener, to influence some of the stuff we might talk about on the air. At the very least, you'll expose your favorite stuff that you find online to other people that are visiting our website. Because the way it works is you, as you're surfing about, if you find something that you want to share with our audience, you submit it to the Free Talk Live website, and you can use our handy new bookmarklet to help you do that. But you submit it to our website, and then other listeners will vote on whether they like or dislike your suggestion. And the most liked will make it to the front page and the top of the website. So head on over, get interactive at freetalklive.com as we continue here briefly, and then we're going to get to your phone calls. But, Mark, you've got a few more details, I believe, from this New York Times piece that's very revealing on exactly how it is the police end up getting false confessions from people.
Yeah, and I think that I think it's accurate to say that some people are mentally ill and are going to confess to things that they didn't do. Mm-hmm. And it's also accurate to say that the systems that the police go and use for confessions are not perfect. They will result in some, false confessions. And you can minimize those false confessions
by keeping your mouth shut.
Well, that's some advice to the individual. But one of the big things that that can be done on a national basis, and I don't think that anybody except the police unions, will have anything to say about this, is let's videotape from start to finish interrogations with police. It says here that 10 states require videotaping of at least some interrogations, like those in crimes that carry the death penalty. 7 states, Supreme Courts have required or strongly encouraged recording. These days, Mr. Lowry, 51, this is one of the convicted guys, lives in suburban Kansas City in a house he's renovating with some of the $7.5 million settlement money he received, along with the apologies of officials from Riley County, Kansas, where he was arrested and interrogated. He has trouble putting the past behind him. I was embarrassed, he said. You run into so many people who say, I would have never confessed to a crime. Mm. He doesn't argue with them because he knows that they did not experience what he went through. You've never been in a situation so intense, and you're so naive about your rights, and you don't know what you'll say until you what you'll say to get out of that situation. So
it's easy to talk to the police. I mean, they, as you mentioned before, they've got this good cop, bad cop routine. They're the professionals at doing this, and most people don't have to go into these situations at all. And so the first time they do it, it's got to be a really intense experience. Even just having the police pulling you over and asking you intrusive questions, people will blab about things. For instance, we had
There was a couple, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, Sam, you and some of the other activists here in the Keene area of New Hampshire went out to do some, I guess, some cop blocking over at they had this checkpoint set up downtown in the middle of the night. And there was one of the guys that the police were harassing because he was out there holding a sign. The police came up to harass him, and we call him 280, and he was... the cop asked him something about a car that went by, and, oh, those are my friends that were in that car. And, well, and then he actually told them who his friends were. And as I was listening, I was like, oh, too much information. You shouldn't have said that. But it's hard it's hard to keep your head on straight when you're under pressure. You've got men with guns surrounding you. You never know what they're going to do. I mean, I don't blame anybody for opening their mouth. It's difficult to stay cool under that kind of pressure.
Well, and what the cop did there was also, whether he knew that's what he was doing or not, it's a common sales tactic, or if you're trying to, you know, pick up women or something at a bar. Say something that you know is not true, like, where's your boyfriend? Or in this case,
he's not my boyfriend.
Exactly. So he said, oh, I'm telling you, you didn't know those people in that car. Oh, yeah, well, who was it?
Ah.
And so then he names it. And it's a way of compelling people to talk to you, to correct you, because, you know, as humans, we like to be right. So when you say something that's wrong, and you know that it's wrong, it will sort of compel the other person to speak up and spill their guts. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mark, is there more to the story?
That's it.
All right.
You know,
New York Times.
You pulled that
off the front page of freetalklive.com?
Indeed. This is good advice for communities all over the nation because, hey, when you get these situations where cops are inducing innocent people to confess, you're going to have to pay. This guy got settlement of $7.5 million. That's not good.
Yeah, it's not the cops that are paying that.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper to get a recording system that's set up on a motion sensor in the interrogation room.
Absolutely. Good suggestion, Mark. Let's go to your phone calls. You can talk about anything. Fred, listening in Ohio to WCER. Hello, Fred.
How are you doing? I'm off topic.
There is no off topic on this show. It's Free Talk Live. You can talk about anything, Fred, so go ahead.
But anyway, over in France, they banned the burqas. Then they had to evacuate the Eiffel Tower because they're starting to blow that up. We've got a Congress, we're running Congress in the 18th district here in Ohio. And
before you go on to that, was there a problem with people wearing burqas in France? Or was it just like a political thing?
They banned the burqas.
Was it just like a political posturing, or were people actually wearing burqas in France? I'm just curious.
They were wearing burqas in France, and they banned them.
It's my understanding that they were trying to use the specifically wear the burqas for, like, IDs and stuff like that. I mean, it's very difficult to know who's that person in that sheet behind on your driver's license. Right?
And so you're saying that that some of the alleged terrorists had threatened the Eiffel Tower?
After the government over there banned the burqas, then they threatened to blow up the Eiffel Tower. It was on the radio today.
Okay, I haven't heard this, but go ahead.
Reports, according to the Associated Press, this filed 48 minutes ago, Paris's Eiffel Tower and its immediate surroundings were evacuated on Tuesday evening after an anonymous caller phoned in a bomb threat. But police search turned up nothing suspicious. Officials evacuated about 2,000 people and combed through the 324-meter tower, according to a police spokesman. Media reported the scare was a false alarm. Police are not returning calls seeking further information. So anybody can call in a bomb threat.
Well, that's what was recorded over the radio.
Yeah, there you go. So what else you got here, Fred? Go ahead.
Okay. At the Zohar Tea Party, I ran into a state senator, Bob Gibbs, and it was running for Congress in the 18th district in Ohio. And I told him about France suing Monsanto and walking away with $1 million+ for suing Monsanto. Bob Gibbs, who is now running for Congress, said that all the people in France were nuts. And that was his quote.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I think that people are nuts all around the world.
It was personal, and it was to me at the time they said it.
Okay.
So it no, he's not saying questioning whether you are reporting it accurately. He's questioning whether or not people in France are in fact nuts.
No, I think Bob Gibbs shouldn't have said such a thing.
Yeah, it's an awful thing to say.
Yeah.
It's very, very insensitive. And but he's probably trying to pander to the nationalistic element out there that people in America don't like them Frenchies, so I'm just going to trash on all French folks because everybody's the same if they were born in the same plot of land, and you know, that's how they think. That's
he was quoting that he loved Miss Monsanto, which is a very bad company.
Well, I've heard bad things about Monsanto, but I don't know if they're all bad. I think
they have a lot of really terrible practices when it comes to intellectual property, and,
sure.
and you know they're just vicious. The biggest problem with Monsanto is their legal department.
Right. Well, on the other hand, I'm sure there are positive things that could be said about Monsanto, like
sure.
you know helping feed people and
yeah,
things like
yeah.
that. So, but, I mean, Walmart does things I disagree with, and you know things I agree with.
Right. Of course, if I were doing business in the fashion that I was, say, bringing talk radio to everybody, that's great. If I go around using government force in order to kick everybody else off the radio and stations that don't play my show
sure.
to make them shut down, I'm a jerk.
I'm not defending
my jerkiness. Outweighs, providing talk radio to people.
Sure, I'm not defending the things that are bad that Monsanto does. I'm just saying that maybe they do some good things too. I don't know what those are. I'm just saying maybe they do some good things.
There's a lot of farming practices that go with the genetically modified organisms that are, they're really immoral when it comes to how one treats the planet.
Yeah, Mark turned me on to this, the Food Inc. Documentary. If you haven't seen that, Ian, you need to watch it. I think it's a lot of great information.
What do you think about a swath of the Gulf of Mexico, the size of New Jersey, just outside of the Mississippi Delta area, that's devoid of life?
That sounds bad.
Yeah. I mean, like, it might get that way from just using Roundup, which is this herbicide that they have, just spray, runoff from Roundup spray.
Has it gotten that way, or are you just saying it might get that way?
No, that's what it is. That is a fact today.
So is it by
the
Mississippi River coming out of the Mississippi? Is that the idea?
Yep.
Is that where it's happening?
Yeah, it's running off from the fertile areas in the plain states there
and
running down the Mississippi River, killing all the herbaceous life in the Gulf.
800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind. And, of course, corporations are not liable for their actions. So even if that's absolutely something they could trace to them, probably not much could be done about it, right? Because the government protects them.
Yeah, well, there's something should be done about it, but you're
their
right.
corporate shield.
It's very difficult.
More coming up. This is Free Talk Live. Hour 2's on the way.
In the decades to come, hardy adventurers will colonize the solar system, rediscovering freedom and finding vast new wealth. But the government of Earth will seek to extend its power and claim that wealth as its own, any way it can. Escape from Terra, Volume 1, the first trade paperback collection of the popular adventure webcomic series, is available now for $12.95 from Big Head Press at bigheadpress.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy at 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.